This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Julianne with the March 29, 2024 edition of The Week Junior US. We'll start with the week's big news. The first article is Science Award Winners Named. On March 12, 10 high school seniors from across the U.S. were awarded top prizes in a prestigious competition called the Regeneron Science Talent Search, or STS. A total of 2,162 students competed this year. What is the competition? STS is the country's oldest and most distinguished youth STEM competition. It was started in 1942 by a nonprofit organization now called the Society for Science in partnership with Westinghouse Electric Corporation. In 1998, the computing company Intel began running STS, and in 2017, the drug company Regeneron took over. Each year, Regeneron awards $3.1 million in prizes to students and their schools. Past winners have gone on to start companies, lead government agencies, invent medical treatments, and win major awards, including 13 Nobel Prizes. How does the contest work? Any U.S. high school senior can apply by submitting their independent research project, which is reviewed by experts in the entry's subject area. Projects are judged on scientific rigor, or how well a project meets scientific standards, creative and original thinking, and the student's potential to be a leader. The judges first choose the top 300 students, then narrow that down to 40 finalists who attend STS Finals Weeks in Washington, D.C. There, the 40 students present their research to a panel of judges and thousands of guests, including leading scientists. The top 10 winners are announced at a ceremony, which was hosted this year by Soledad O'Brien, an award-winning journalist. What do the students win? Each of the top 300 students is awarded $2,000, and each of their schools also receives $2,000 to support STEM education. They are also invited to apply for a summer internship at Regeneron. Finalists win prizes ranging from $25,000 to the first place prize of $250,000. Who are the top winners? Akiyuta Rajaram, age 17 and from New Hampshire, won first prize for developing an automatic way to discover which parts of the computer model are involved in making decisions. His research helps reveal how computers think, which judges said will lead to more effective, fair, and safe artificial intelligence, or AI, results. Second place and $175,000 went to Thomas Kong, age 17 and from New York. He investigated the fast growth of certain types of cancer, in particular those that attack the immune system, which is a part of the body that fights off infections. He identified differences in these cancers that will offer new insights into cancer studies and could lead to new therapies. Michelle Wei, age 17 and from California, won third place and $150,000. She worked on solving a computer programming problem that will help companies improve their production processes, schedule airline flights, and distribute electrical power, among other solutions. Her innovation could help businesses in many industries. How did people react? Rajaram said he was shocked and excited to win and offered advice to students who wanted to apply to STS. "Be really, really curious about everything," he said. He plans to continue his research as a student at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology next year. Maya Ajmura, head of the Society for Science, called the students' work inspiring. "These young people are trying to solve the world's most challenging problems," she said. George D. Yancopoulos, president and chief scientific officer of Regeneron, spoke about all the finalists when he said, "Their extraordinary achievements at such a young age give me hope that they will go on to deliver major innovative breakthroughs that will greatly benefit humanity." The next article is Gender Balance at the 2024 Olympics. The International Olympic Committee, or IOC, has announced that there will be an equal number of male and female athletes at the 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris, France. The Games, which will take place from July 26 to August 11, will be the first gender-equal Olympic Games in history, with 5,250 men and 5,250 women participating. The first modern-day Summer Olympics in 1896 included only male athletes. Women first competed in the 1900 Summer Games in France, where 22 of the 997 athletes were females. By the 2020 Summer Olympics in Tokyo, women made up 48% of all athletes. As part of a greater push for gender equality, the 2024 Summer Games will also have a more balanced competition schedule and provide equal media coverage to women's sports. No organization or country can afford to leave the skills of 50% of the population behind, either in sports or society at large, IOC President Thomas Bach said in a statement. Now we learn that SpaceX launches a Starship rocket. The private company SpaceX launched its Starship spacecraft from Boca Chica, Texas on March 14. It was the third launch attempt for Starship, which SpaceX hopes will one day transport astronauts to the moon as part of the Artemis 3 mission, spearheaded by NASA, which is the U.S. space agency. Starship is the tallest and most powerful rocket system ever to go to space. Although the whole system is known as Starship, it consists of two parts, a spacecraft called Starship and the super heavy rocket booster it sits on. Ultimately, SpaceX plans to make both sections reusable so they can make multiple trips. The sections are made of stainless steel, and the spacecraft has special black tiles to help it withstand the heat generated when it returns to Earth. On Starship's first test flight in April 2023, the spacecraft exploded 4 minutes after takeoff. On the second try in November 2023, the two parts separated as planned, then exploded. On the third try, Starship made it into the orbit for the first time, but likely blew up after re-entering Earth's atmosphere. Even so, the mission achieved important goals and was considered a success. The spacecraft's six engines set off before it separated smoothly from the booster, which is called hot staging. It also traveled farther than ever, and scientists were able to test its engines and open a cargo door remotely. Bill Nelson, the head of NASA, congratulated SpaceX on the successful test flight. Gwynne Shotwell, the president of SpaceX, called it an incredible day. SpaceX hopes to make at least five more test flights before the end of 2024. The information bubble is Did You Know? At a height of 397 feet, Starship is 40 stories tall and about 90 feet taller than the Statue of Liberty. The word of the week this week is rocket, R-O-C-K-E-T. Space rockets took their name from something much more down to earth. The word rocket began with the Italian rocca, meaning the stick or spindle on which wool was wound for spinning. The name was later used for certain fireworks and spacecraft because they are also cylindrical. This week in history, on March 24, 2002, the top acting prizes at the Academy Awards went to Halle Berry for Best Actress and Denzel Washington for Best Actor. This was the first time a black man and black woman won these awards in the same year, the first Best Actress Award for a black woman and the second Best Actor Award for a black man. This moment is so much bigger than me, Berry said. In Animals in the Environment, the first article is that migrating species need protection. A report has pointed to the importance of protecting the world's migrating species, those that regularly travel to another location in order to survive. Migrating animals might be looking for food, better weather, or a mate. They include mammals such as whales and gorillas, amphibians like toads, reptiles including turtles, insects, fish, and birds. The State of the World's Migratory Species Report was created by the United Nations, or UN, a group of 193 nations working together. In 1979, members of the UN signed an agreement to protect 1,189 migrating species. The recent report looked at the health of those protected species and found that nearly half of their populations are getting smaller and more than one-fifth are at risk of extinction. Migrating species face many threats because they often move through varied habitats. For example, more than 1.5 million wildebeest migrate through Tanzania and Kenya to follow seasonal rains each year, crossing rivers where predatory Nile crocodiles live. The biggest threat to migrating wildlife, however, is human activities such as hunting, fishing, and building projects that destroy habitats or block migration routes. It's difficult to protect migrating species due to the distances they travel. For example, monarch butterflies fly 3,000 miles every fall from northeastern North America to Mexico. The report recommends that countries create protected land areas to give animals a safe route. It also urges governments to do more to solve climate change and reduce noise, light, and plastic pollution. The report highlighted projects that have helped migrating species. In the South Atlantic Ocean, rules that stop the hunting of humpback whales helped boost their numbers from 450 in the 1950s to more than 25,000 today. In Central Asia, a wildlife refuge has helped raise the Saga antelope population from 50,000 to more than 1.3 million. The information bubble is nifty noses. Salmon use their sense of smell to help them find their way during migration. And the sidebar is epic migration journey. The world's longest migration is that of the Arctic tern. These birds spend most of the year traveling more than 18,000 miles from the Arctic Circle to the Antarctic Circle, chasing summer weather conditions across the globe. The birds save energy by gliding on ocean breezes, and they can sleep and eat in the air. Next, marlins change color when hunting. Striped marlins are one of the top predators in the Pacific and Indian Oceans. Now, researchers have learned that the fish change color of their stripes while hunting, which may help them work together during a hunt. When hunting in groups, each marlin takes turn attacking prey. This requires the fish to coordinate with one another. A new study analyzed video footage of marlins attacking schools of sardines. The researchers found that the marlin's stripes would become brighter when it began to attack its prey, then dim back to their normal color after the attack ended. Experts already knew that striped marlins can change color, but this is the first time the behavior has been linked to hunting. The researchers believe it is a way for marlins to communicate with one another as they hunt. It may also be a way of confusing their prey. Scientists are curious to know whether marlins change color when hunting alone. They are also investigating whether other species of predatory fish change colors when they hunt. Animal of the week is the Brazilian flea toad. In a recently published paper, scientists suggested that the Brazilian flea toad is the smallest vertebrate, or animal with a backbone, in the world. Two of the creatures could sit on an average adult's fingernail. They live in two forested hills in Bahia, Brazil. They grow just over a quarter inch long by eating small ants and tiny insects called mites. The fun fact, the Brazilian flea toad is actually a frog. When scientists first found it, they got its species wrong. The Ask an Expert question is, how do bugs communicate with each other? Insects have many ways to communicate. Some, like grasshoppers and beetles, make sounds. Others, like fireflies, emit light. Bugs also use repeated movements, vibrations, or body colors to convey messages, but the most common method is to release a chemical signal or smell. The special section is all about Miami, a magical city of art, culture, and fun. Miami is a city rich in culture and history. Get to know the place that local residents have dubbed the Magic City. History of Miami. The name Miami comes from a Native American name for a local river, Miami, or Big Water. A small, peaceful tribe called the Tequesta lived in the region that is now Miami for centuries until the Spanish claimed it in about 1566. The Tequesta died as a result of settlement battles and disease brought by Europeans, with few survivors by the 1800s. In 1821, the U.S. acquired Florida from Spain. Ohio native Julia Tuttle moved to the area in 1891, buying land and donating it so others could settle there. In 1895, she convinced railway executive Henry Flagler to extend a train line from Palm Beach south to Miami to attract more people. Called the Mother of Miami, Tuttle is the only woman to have founded a major U.S. city. A growing city. On April 13, 1896, the first train arrived in Miami. The city was incorporated, or founded, with 424 registered voters later that year. Flagler soon opened the Royal Palm Hotel, one of the first resorts in the region aimed at drawing tourists and wealthy patrons to Miami's warm temperatures and scenic beaches. The population continued to grow into the 1900s, reaching 30,000 in the 1920s. To create more usable land, Florida began to drain and clear the Everglades, a wilderness of wetlands, marshes, and forest. The land was advertised nationwide to entice people to move to Miami. Around town. One of the oldest neighborhoods in Miami is historic Overtown. It was settled in the 1890s by black workers who built Miami's railroads and hotels, but were not allowed to live in other areas of the city due to racism. Today it has a historic theater and museums honoring black history and culture. During the Great Depression, 1929 to 1939, Jewish investors who moved to Miami built small, brightly colored Art Deco-style hotels in South Beach. In the 1950s, many people from Cuba fled their country in communism, which is a social system with no private property, and immigrants from Latin America and Caribbean countries moved to the Riverside area of Miami. It became known as Little Havana, named after Cuba's capital city. Calle Ocho, or 8th Street, is the center of social and commercial life in Little Havana and is dotted with rooster sculptures. Miami Now. About 450,000 people live in Miami today, and New York City is the only U.S. city that receives more visitors per year. Attractions include beaches, restaurants, shops, Zoo Miami, museums, and distinctive parking garages, including one designed to look like a jigsaw puzzle. The first phase of the Underline, a 10-mile urban park with trails, a public gym, and art spaces located under Miami's elevated railroad, opened in 2021. Wynwood, also called the Design District, is currently considered one of Miami's hippest neighborhoods, known for its colorful murals and an outdoor museum featuring street art. The information bubbles? The first one is special honor. In 2017, Little Havana was named a national treasure by the National Trust for Historic Preservation. The second, popular destination. Miami welcomes about 14 million tourists every year. And the final one, did you know? Miami is the only U.S. city sandwiched between two national parks, Everglades National Park and Biscayne National Park. And the sidebar, foods of Miami. Cuban sandwich. Miami's version of this classic from Cuba features smoked ham, roasted pork, Swiss cheese, pickles, and mustard. Stone crabs. A local delicacy found off the coast of South Florida, stone crabs have been on the menus of some of the most renowned restaurants in Miami for more than 100 years. Jerk chicken. A beloved dish in Miami's large Jamaican and Caribbean community, jerk chicken is prepared by generously coating the chicken in a unique marmalade of spices, herbs, and peppers. Arepas. This South American-inspired dish is made with dough from ground corn and stuffed with fillings like avocado, chicken, and cheese. And torta helada. This pretty and pink cake came to Miami by way of Peru. It gets bold color from strawberry jelly, although some bakers use peach or orange jelly instead. Now we're on to science and technology, where we ask, did dinosaurs swim to Africa? For many years, scientists have believed that some dinosaurs could wade and paddle around in the water, but they did not think the creatures were strong swimmers. A recent study of dinosaur fossils discovered in what is now Africa have challenged this theory. The fossils came from a group of dinosaurs called hadrosaurs. They are known as duck-billed dinosaurs because their snouts were shaped like a duck's bill. These creatures first appeared in what is now North America during a period known as the Late Cretaceous, between 100 million and 66 million years ago. The fossils were from the skull, arm, and leg of three hadrosaur species, one smaller and two larger. The team of researchers think the skull belonged to an entirely new species named Mincaria bata. It was between 9 and 13 feet long and weighed about 550 pounds, making it about the size of a pony. Though it was small compared to other hadrosaurs, Mincaria bata's bones indicated that it was fully grown. Its body was very similar to European hadrosaurs, which suggests that they were related. During much of the Cretaceous period, North America was connected by land to Europe and Asia, and Africa was a huge island separated from Asia and Europe by a sea. Duck-billed dinosaurs eventually spread into Europe and Asia by crossing the land. The bones in Africa, however, puzzled scientists because the dinosaurs would have had to cross hundreds of miles of water to get there. But how? The scientists concluded that the duck-billed dinosaurs must have gotten to Africa by swimming or floating. The Cretaceous lasted nearly 100 million years. A lot of strange things will happen in that time, including dinosaurs crossing seas, said Nicholas Longrich, an author of the study. According to the study, the three species of duck-billed dinosaurs found in Africa indicate that the creatures did more than make their way to the continent. They also evolved, which means changed very slowly over time there. These duck bills may be the most surprising find of my career, Longrich said. If you asked me what kind of dinosaurs we'd find in Africa, a duck bill is the last thing I would have imagined, let alone three species. The information bubble is, did you know? Hadrosaurs were large dinosaurs that walked on two legs, and their name means bulky lizard in ancient Greek. And the sidebar, dinosaur walking styles. Some dinosaurs were huge, some were fierce, and many were both. According to a new study, however, it wasn't just these qualities that helped them to rule the planet for more than 160 million years. It was also the way they walked. Early dinosaurs walked on their hind legs and were able to run and move quickly. This helped them catch food and avoid predators. Over time, dinosaurs adapted to also walk on four legs and were able to live and find food in all kinds of environments. At a time when the land was changing rapidly, this gave them an advantage over other creatures that weren't as diverse. Other species died out, while dinosaurs thrived. Next, smart mouth guards protect athletes. Professional rugby players in the UK are wearing smart mouth guards to protect them from serious injuries during games. Rugby is a contact sport, which means that players often come into physical contact with each other. Similar to American football, it's common for players to tackle each other, and sometimes a player hits their head. Players usually wear mouth guards to protect their teeth, but the smart mouth guard has extra features. It includes sensors that can detect how hard a player was hit during a collision. If a player is hit many times or with a lot of force, the mouth guard sends an alert to a medical team. The player can then be checked over for head injuries by a doctor. In the U.S., the National Football League, or NFL, has been running a program to test smart mouth guards for several years. Players on NFL and college teams have worn the technology, as have other athletes, including boxers and soccer players. Scientists for the rugby leagues and the NFL are studying data collected from smart mouth guards. The information will help them learn about the link between how hard someone was hit and the risk of head injury so they can make a rule or equipment changes. The data will also help them continue to improve the smart mouth guards. Sports safety experts said the technology could also be used by non-professional players in the future. The information bubble is fun facts. Rugby was invented in 1823 in Rugby, England, by a boy who was playing soccer and disregarded the rules, creating a new game. And now, ancient treasures made from meteor. Artifacts found in Spain may have been crafted with iron from a meteor that fell to Earth a million years ago. The treasure of Velina is a collection of 59 bowls, bottles, and jewelry made between 1500 and 1200 BCE. Most were made from gold or silver, but some include iron. Scientists recently analyzed two iron items, a bracelet and a decorative sphere, and found that their metal composition was similar to iron from a meteor. When the treasures were created about 3,000 years ago, people in that area were not using iron mined from Earth. The team believes the iron in the bracelet and sphere was likely from a meteorite found in the area. Artifacts made with meteoritic iron have been found elsewhere in Europe, but these are the first ones found in this part of Spain. The team thinks the items were made by skilled artisans who figured out how to work with the new metal. We'll finish up with around the world. In Russia, Putin reinstated for fifth term. Russian President Vladimir Putin won another six-year term in elections held March 15 to 17. Russia's election commission said Putin received 87% of the vote, but most of his opponents were barred from running, and international leaders said the elections were not fair. Russians opposing Putin stood at polling centers from March 17 to show their dissent. The Gaza Strip. Aid ship loaded with food arrives. A boat carrying nearly 200 tons of food arrived in Gaza on March 16 to bring some relief to the more than 1 million people there who are at risk of famine, which is extreme lack of food, amid the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas. The shipment was organized by the nonprofit World Central Kitchen, which has now begun to send a second boat with more food. In Abidjan, Ivory Coast, a shortage makes chocolate expensive. The International Cocoa Organization said it expects worldwide production of cocoa beans to decrease by 11% this season due to extreme weather and diseases that harm plants. Ivory Coast and Ghana, the top suppliers of the beans, have produced one-third less than they did this time last year. The price of cocoa has risen to record highs, affecting chocolate makers and consumers. Paris, France. Lawmakers vote on fast fashion. France's National Assembly has voted in favor of making fast fashion less attractive to customers. Fast fashion is a term for inexpensive, low-quality clothing items that are made quickly to keep up with trends. New measures include requiring companies to tell customers about the environmental impact of their products, pay an extra tax on each item they sell, and limit their advertising. In Lagos, Nigeria, boosting kids' art. A gallery supporting young artists aged 4 to 17 by helping them sell their artwork around the world. The Children's Art Gallery accepts artwork from any child. It has discovered artists like 11-year-old Fiyin Fuluwa Adeniji, who earned about $650 for two of his paintings. The gallery works with the children's families to ensure the money is made from art sales goes toward their education, healthcare, and creative pursuits. Well, that's all the time we have this week for the March 29, 2024 edition of the Week Junior US. This is Julianne, and have a great week.